Good morning. Today we are studying the part three of Revelation, and today our lesson is lesson three, and we'll be looking at chapters 15 through 22 in the book of Revelation. So let us begin in prayer. Father, we pray for your guidance. We ask that the Holy Spirit teach us your word and give us the wisdom and knowledge to understand your truths, that we may know you more and that we may please you, Father, in all that we do and live it out in our lives each day. I thank you now for your precious word, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think today we're looking at these chapters, and we're going to see that they represent the wrath or the judgment of God. And you know, as Jesus hung on the cross, whenever he came to the very end, he cried out, "It is finished." Tetelestia, that means it is finished. All that was necessary to accomplish our redemption from sin and eternal life had been accomplished through his death. The debt of sin was paid in full by the Lamb of God. So, twice in Revelation, we read, "It is done." The first time is proclaimed by a loud voice from the temple, and the second time by the one on the throne. So, as we study through these next chapters, Revelation 15 through 22, we're going to see how that God, through his Son Jesus, finishes the vision that he has given John, and how that he showed him the wrath that must come upon those who would not believe or accept the name of Jesus. So we'll start looking at the beginning of where we studied in chapter 5, how that as the Lamb was given the book that God was holding and the seals were opened, we saw that all of these seals represented something in the wrath or judgment of God. So in the opening the first seal, we saw the white horse that represented conquering. And then the next one was the red horse taking peace from the earth. And then the next one was the black horse that represented famine. And then the last horse was ashen, that represented the final of God's wrath on the earth. Now, as we have studied earlier, each of these seals represents what is taking place here as God is pouring out his wrath. Now, after he opened the fifth seal, the souls of those that had been martyred asked how long it would be that they would be avenged for their shedding of blood. And then when he broke the sixth seal, the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the sky were affected. And as he broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Now, as the seven angels are given the seven trumpets, we saw that the first four trumpets reveal judgments that affect a third of the earth. And then the last three trumpets, we see the three woes on the earth. The fifth trumpet is the first woe, and the sixth trumpet is the second woe, and the seventh trumpet is when the mystery of God is finished. And this is the time when the two witnesses are killed by the beast. So this is the third woe, the seventh trumpet. And the kingdom of the world becomes the kingdom of the Lord and his Christ. Christ begins to reign. Now salvation, power, and kingdom of God and authority of Jesus have come. And we studied where the woman, which represented Israel, flees into the wilderness for 1,260 days. And then at that time we see the beast begins to reign 42 months and wars with the saints. And the devil persecutes or pursues the woman's, which is Israel's offspring. So now then, at the end of Revelation 4 that we completed last week, we learned that the hour for the earth to be reaped had come, and the time for the winepress of God's wrath. So we will begin today in reading and discussing Revelation 15. And in the first verse, it tells us, "Then I, John, saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished." So here we see the seven bowls. These seven angels are given these seven bowls. And just as the seven trumpets came out of the seventh seal, the seven bowls of God's wrath come out of the seventh trumpet. In verse 5, we see that the heavens are opened. And I'll read that verse, is chapter 15. "After these things, I looked," John looked, "and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened." So here we see that when the seven angels with the bowls come out, then the temple fills with smoke from God's glory and power, because he rules over all the future events. Now you can kind of compare this that's in chapter 15 in chapter 12. Let me read verse 1 and verse 3, and you'll see how that it's similar. Verse 1 of chapter 12 is about the woman Israel, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." And then when you go to verse 3 of chapter 12, you see that John saw another sign. It says, "Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. So there is a similarity here, how that it connects chapter 12 and chapter 15. And it shows that God, in all his glory and power, rules over everything. Now then, let's look at chapter 16. In this chapter, it's a description of the 7 bowls or plagues in chronological order. So I will just read from these verses, and I'll tell you what verse I'm reading as I go through this. Verse 2 of chapter 16. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped the image. So that first bowl produces sores on those that had taken the mark of the beast. Now, the second bowl, it says that in verse 3 that the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. So here we see the second bowl, that the sea becomes blood, and all the creatures in it die. So this is also comparison with the judgment under the second trumpet, if you go back. So you can see the connection of the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And then let's go on to the third bowl that is poured out. The third angel, this is verse 4, poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. So here, the third bowl, the rivers and the springs of water become blood. Now the fourth angel, verse 8 of chapter 16, he poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. So here it tells us the fourth bowl of plague scorches men with fire, with fierce heat. And the people scorched know that God does these things, and they blaspheme him, and they won't repent. Now then, you can compare that with the fourth trumpet and see how that this judgment all links together with the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Now let's look at the fifth bowl. This is the 10th verse, 16th chapter. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain, and did not repent of their deeds. So here we see the fifth bowl, the beast kingdom is darkened. And people still have sores from the first bowl. And these plagues all appear to happen in rapid succession. There's not much time between each one of these, and you can compare this with the fifth trumpet. There's a lot of similarity here, but they're not the same. And the people here still blaspheme God and don't repent. Now, these are the unbelievers, these that have followed after the beast. Now, looking at the sixth bowl, we see verse 12, as it, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. So, looking at all of those verses, you see that there's no rain for 3.5 years, and second, third trumpets, and a third of the sea becomes blood, and a third of the waters are bitter. And then the second and third bowls, all the sea and the waters become blood, and the earth is in a dry and bad condition. Now then, here we see the demonic spirits of the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. They perform signs and gather the kings of the earth. And it says Har-Magdon in verse 15, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame." Now that is God speaking here. And then verse 16 says, "They gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon." This is the time that the kings of the earth gather together at a place called Armageddon, or here in the Hebrew, Har-Mageddon, to go against God in war. Now let's look at the seventh angel as he poured out his bowl in verse 17. "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, 'It is done.'" So we know that when that seventh bowl is poured out, the wrath of God is finished. And in reading this, we see in that 17th verse, chapter, that an earthquake like one that has never occurred comes, and the great city splits into three parts. And then the nations fall, and all islands flee away, and the mountains are not found, and hailstones about 100 pounds fall upon the earth, and men still blaspheme God. As you look at these verses, they still will not receive Jesus as Lord and King. So, Babylon the Great is remembered because God gives the cup of his wrath for Babylon to drink. Let us read here, because in chapter 17 and 18, we're going to see how that these are about the fall of Babylon and God's wrath on her. So I'm going to start with chapter 17, verse 7, if you will follow me. "And the angel said to me, 'Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction, and those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was, is not, and will come. Here is a man which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and goes to destruction. Verse 12, then the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. So, here we see that this is speaking of the city Babylon, that great city. And here, as we look at this, we see that the Lamb has victory over this. It says, verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he, the Lord, is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. So then he goes to explain in verse 15 this vision that John is seeing. And he said in verse 15, the waters which you saw were the harlot, where the harlot sits. The harlot, we know, is Babylon. Are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, will eat her flesh and burn her up. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, that's speaking of Babylon, that great city that reigns over the kingdoms of the earth. During the tribulation time, the beast will come forward, and he will set up a place that he comes out of as a ruler over that nation. And this can be possibly Babylon, because it says the woman whom you saw is a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And the reason we will study further, and I won't discuss it right now, because we're going to see what this great city composes of. It's representing immorality, and we're going to see that as we read further in chapter 18. So let's look at chapter 18, verse 10 through 19. These chapters, then, we know is about the fall. And according to chapter 18, I'll read these verses 10 through 19. Standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the city weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stone and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep. All of this is in this luxurious city. We're looking at Babylon that sits in a place where all the nations of the world come in and trade and buy and sell and exchange. And it's been, it became in this time the economic capital of the earth. And this is the beast kingdom. This is where the beast, the Antichrist, Christ is set up himself over because he controls it all. But here we see that at this point, the beast and the ten kings associated with him destroy Babylon. So let's see what it says here. Verse 15, the merchants of these things who became rich will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailors and every as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance. Now, they were standing at a distance, look at verse 10, because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And it goes on to explain how that the merchants mourn over that because of the great wealth that they have received from the trades that took place from this. And then it says here that all of these passengers and people look at verse 17, for in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste, and every shipmaster, every passenger and sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance. Verse 18, and were crying out as they saw the smoke of the burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on the heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste. So here we see this great city, the great system. It's a system of control over the merchants, over the economy, over all finances. It is a city that has gained all the wealth and it's become a one control system, like one nation, I mean one finance, one religion, one economy. And so it's going to fall, and we're seeing that now here God's wrath comes, and this great city is fallen. It says in 1 day, a single day, or in 1 hour, a single hour. her plagues has come. So this relates back to chapter 17, verse 6, to that fifth seal that mentioned those who end up in heaven. Babylon the Great is drunk with the blood of the saints. That's who it's talking about in chapter 17, verse 6. These saints are now carried to heaven because Babylon is drunk with her blood. Babylon is the one that has destroyed and killed these that were believers that did not take the mark of the beast. So here we go back and look at chapter 17. We saw that verses 7 through 18, that the beast had a fatal wound that's healed. And those on earth were amazed and wonder. And then we saw the beast's seven heads were seven kings. So here, this Antichrist with the seven heads represented seven kings. And then five, it said, had fallen. Five of the kingdoms had fallen. One still was, and yet there was another kingdom to come. One probably means one was alive when John wrote Revelation. And the beast is of the seven, and he is also the eighth king. Now, the ten horns represent ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom. And they're given authority to the beast and war with the Lamb. And then the harlot, the prostitute Babylon, sits on peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The ten kings and the beast destroy her. Okay, these kings don't want anyone else to be in control. They want full power, full control. So here we see that in verse 18 of chapter 18, and I'll read this verse, and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her, Babylon, burning, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste. So now let's go forward and look at chapter 19 and 20, looking at verse 11, and we see in verse 1 of chapter 19, it says, after these things, this is John saying that after all the things that we've just finished reading about, the signs that were given to John that he saw, he said, after these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, hallelujah. And then we see in the sixth verse, it says, then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord, the God Almighty, reign. So here we're going to see in this where that the Lord Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom here on the earth. And he reigns for 1,000 years. Look at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. So here we see at this time where that Jesus come. And we saw that this group that was following him were those in heaven that were clothed in white robes in righteousness. These are the ones that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They were the ones that were raptured. And now they are following him to be with him 1,000 years to rule and to reign. So what has happened to Satan at this time? Looking at chapter 20, we see that he is bound. Looking at verse 1, and then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So here we see that he is bound, Satan, for 1,000 years and cast into the abyss or the pit where he'll stay for 1,000 years. And then we'll see that he is released later after 1,000 years, and he leads a final attack on the saints. Here it says look at verses in chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. Now this is after 1,000 years. And from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books according to their deeds. And then it says that in the 14th verse, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So here we see that in this chapter 20, that after 1,000 years, the devil's released to deceive the nations and gather them again for a battle against God. But there is no battle because fire comes from heaven and devours them. And then we see that the devil is thrown into the lake of fire, and heaven and earth flee away, and the dead are judged from the books, and they are thrown in the lake of fire. This is the dead that are unbelievers that did not come forth when God raptured the church, only those that were believers were raptured. And those that had died, that were in the graves, did not come forth until this judgment that's taking place. And here, after they have judged, been judged, then they are thrown into the lake of fire. Now let's look at chapters 21 and 22. And we'll quickly get through this because it's about the new heaven and the new earth. 1 through 3 of 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. So here we see there will be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And God the Almighty and the Lamb will be there to dwell among them. Look at verse part 3 of second part of verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Now, when you get to chapter 2, you see the new heaven and the new earth. And John says in verse 1, then he showed me, the angel showed John, a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there no longer be curse, any curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So here we see there's a new heaven and a new earth. And here the river of life and the tree of life are there. So he is saying here that all of those that will be there, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. So no one has ever seen the face of God, but now as all of his beloved believers, born again believers, are in his presence, they will see him face to face. So we will end our study today here, and next week we will continue, and our next study will be the signs of his coming and the end of the age. As you can see, we are doing some repeating or repetitive studies, but it helps us to understand more as we go back and review. So let us close in prayer until our study next week. Father, we do thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, to know that you are in control of all things. And Father, that you already have a plan. And you have shown us by giving John, your disciple, this revelation of Jesus' second coming and of the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. Thank you, Father, that you are showing us through your word that you are sovereign And Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.